Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Great Society, A New History, by Amity Schles, revisits the ambitious domestic agenda launched in the 1960s under President Lyndon B. Johnson. Known for blending narrative history with economic and political analysis, Schles examines how a surge of federal confidence produced a sweeping set of programs aimed at reducing poverty, expanding opportunity, and improving health, education, and urban life. The book places the Great Society alongside its companion era realities, including the escalation of the Vietnam War, intense social upheaval, and rapid changes in culture and demographics. Rather than treating the period as a simple triumph or failure, Schles explores the motivations of policymakers, the role of experts and administrators, and the ways federal action collided with local conditions. The result is a history that highlights trade-offs, unintended consequences, and the long tail of policy design. Readers interested in the origins of modern American government and the roots of today's debates will find a focused, provocative account of how idealism became institutions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the vision and political engine behind the Great Society. A central topic in the book is how the Great Society became possible politically and culturally. Schles portrays a moment when national leaders believed government could engineer progress at scale, using federal spending, expert planning, and new administrative structures. The Great Society is shown not as a single program, but as a coordinated push across many domains, fueled by the legislative skill and ambition of Lyndon B. Johnson and a Democratic coalition energized by the moral urgency of civil rights and poverty reduction. The narrative emphasizes how aspirations were converted into statutes, agencies, and grant formulas, and how that conversion changed the meaning of the original goals. The book also highlights the importance of timing, a period of economic growth, the memory of New Deal successes, and a sense that the nation could afford large experiments. At the same time, Schles underscores that the vision depended on political bargains, institutional rivalries, and the desire to demonstrate action quickly. This creates a recurring tension between deep reform and fast results, a tension that shaped program design and later public evaluation. Understanding this political engine helps explain why the Great Society expanded so rapidly and why its outcomes became so contested. Secondly, the War on Poverty and the Challenge of Measuring Progress. The book devotes significant attention to the War on Poverty, treating it as both a moral mission and a managerial problem. Schles explores how policymakers tried to translate an abstract goal, reducing poverty, into operational programs that could be funded, staffed, and evaluated. This raises questions about what poverty is, what causes it, and what counts as success. The book discusses how initiatives aimed at community action, job training, and local empowerment interacted with existing political structures and incentives. A recurring theme is that programs designed to help the poor also created new professional classes, bureaucratic procedures, and funding dependencies, which could dilute accountability or shift priorities away from families and toward institutions. Schles emphasizes that measurement matters. If success is judged by dollars spent, enrollment numbers, or new offices opened, the system rewards expansion, not necessarily improved outcomes. The narrative also points to tensions between local knowledge and federal expertise, as well as the difficulty of aligning short-term aid with long-term upward mobility. This topic connects directly to present-day debates about social policy, showing how evaluation, incentives, and administrative complexity can determine whether compassion becomes effective help. Thirdly, health and education expansion and the rise of permanent entitlements. Another important theme is how Great Society era reforms reshaped healthcare and education by creating or enlarging federal roles that would become enduring. Schles examines the logic of expanding access, the politics of funding, and the consequences of embedding benefits within large national systems. New in health policy, the story highlights how new commitments changed expectations for what government should guarantee, while also introducing cost pressures that grew over time. The book treats these policies as a turning point in the relationship between citizens, providers, and the state, where reimbursement rules, compliance demands, and reporting requirements increasingly influenced how services were delivered. In education, Schles discusses efforts to close achievement gaps and support disadvantaged students through federal resources. The narrative shows how money and mandates can stimulate action, but also invite disputes over standards, local control, and administrative burden. A key insight is that programs meant to be targeted or supplementary can, through political dynamics and constituency building, become difficult to reform even when problems emerge. This topic helps readers understand why Great Society reforms are still central to budget fights and why policy adjustments often face resistance from stakeholders who rely on established funding streams. Fourthly, cities, housing, and the limits of top-down planning. Schles gives considerable weight to the urban dimension of the Great Society, focusing on how federal initiatives attempted to address housing quality, segregation, employment, and neighborhood decline. The book explores the appeal of top-down planning, where experts and administrators try to redesign city life through grants, redevelopment schemes, and social service networks. It also explores how these plans often collided with on-the-ground realities such as local politics, community distrust, and the complexity of informal economies and social ties. Schley's links ambitious interventions to unintended consequences, including displacement, weakened neighborhood cohesion, or incentives that did not match resident needs. Urban unrest and rising crime in some areas become part of the story, not as simple outcomes of one policy, but as pressures that expose the fragility of grand designs. The book also highlights how the structure of funding can shape behavior when programs reward spending and construction rather than long-term maintenance and resident stability, results can disappoint. This topic is valuable because it frames the Great Society as a test case for modern urban policy, illustrating how well-intentioned federal action must contend with governance constraints, local legitimacy, and the danger of assuming that technical expertise alone can solve social problems. Lastly, Vietnam, fiscal trade-offs, and the shifting public mood. A major thread in the book is how the Great Society unfolded alongside the Vietnam War and how that overlap affected budgets, credibility, and public trust. Schley's presents the era as one of competing commitments. Expansive domestic goals required sustained funding and political attention, while a growing war demanded money, manpower, and focus. The book explores how these pressures complicated the promise that government could deliver prosperity and social improvement simultaneously. Inflation, tax debates, and fears about deficits become part of the narrative, showing how macroeconomic conditions can amplify dissatisfaction with domestic programs even when goals remain popular. Schley's also examines a broader shift in public mood, where optimism about centralized solutions gave way to skepticism about bureaucracies and experts. As controversies accumulated, including frustrations with program performance and rising social tensions, political coalitions fractured and the language of reform changed. This topic ties together the book's historical argument about limits. Even strong leadership and high ideals face constraints imposed by war, economic cycles, and public patience. The reader is left with a clearer sense of why the Great Society became a defining reference point for later arguments about government capacity, trade-offs, and the risks of undertaking multiple vast national projects at once. In conclusion, this book best suits readers who want a fresh, challenging perspective on the 1960s and the origins of today's American policy landscape, including students of history, politics, economics, and public administration. It is also valuable for general readers who sense that current debates about welfare, healthcare costs, education outcomes, and urban distress trace back to choices made decades ago. Schley's can benefit a reader's life by sharpening how you evaluate large promises in politics. The book encourages attention to incentives, administration, measurement, and the gap between stated goals and operational reality. That mindset is useful whether you work in government, nonprofits, business, or simply vote and advocate. Compared with similar books that either celebrate the Great Society as a moral triumph or condemn it as a simple failure, this account emphasizes complexity and trade-offs, connecting program architecture to long-term consequences. The narrative approach makes institutional history readable, while the policy focus helps explain why reform is so difficult once programs create constituencies and expectations. If you want a single volume that links ideals, legislation, bureaucracy, and public reaction into one argument about how modern government took shape, this book is worth buying and thinking through carefully. If you would like to support Amity Schley's, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.